Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you as always for downloading Fight Night Extra. All right, before we get started, I have some exciting news to bring you, and this is big news. TalkSport are going to be bringing you live and exclusive coverage of the trilogy fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder live from Las Vegas. And look, if that's not enough, on the same night, we also have live coverage of Joe Joyce versus Carlos Takam. Remember, that's 10 hours. 10 hours of uninterrupted boxing coverage on TalkSport on Saturday, July 24th. And obviously, between now and then, we're going to have every single angle covered here on Fight Night Extra. So make sure you put that one in your diaries. 24th of July, TalkSport have got you covered. Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder and Joe Joyce versus Carlos Takam.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon, this is Final Extra of myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Look, if you love your boxing and your MMA, I've got to remind you, then this 110% is the show from you. We're going to be discussing all the latest from the world of combat sports. Busy show today. Today we're going to discuss all the biggest news at the moment, including Bob Arum saying that the UK is the most likely venue for AJ against Fury. We're going to be asking Gareth A. Davis about that. And we'll attempt to get the bottom of what's going on with Dillian White. I mean, the talks about fighting in July, August, now we're hearing possibly September, October. Plus, we have the great Conor Benn on the show. We're looking forward to him. He's got a big fight coming up against Granados. This is Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2.
Trying to make an early impression on Samuel Vargas. Wonderful uppercut. Look at this from Conor Benn early in the first round. And Vargas in all sorts of trouble. And it's been stopped.
Body shot from Fraser Clark. Serious intent. That was a right from
that
Clark.
That body shot seemed to have taken a toll.
We're not even midway through round two, and Akar looks like he's laboring somewhat.
Yes, and taking shots. And this week, and you see the referee looking very closely.
Unanimous decision. Fraser Clark is going to the Olympics.
Oh, big left from Poirier. Now a right hand.
Oh, he's hurt.
He's got to go back to the count. Oh, big left and now a right.
Oh my God!
Dustin Poirier! Oh! Knockdown from Poirier! Dustin Poirier has knocked down Conor McGregor!
Oh my God!
Lafayette, Louisiana! No. Your guy has done it!
No.
Are you kidding
Dustin
me right
Poirier
now?
Has done it.
All right, quiet weekend in the world of boxing. There were some fights. I say quiet weekend. Stateside, there were some fights. Look, we got Conor Benn coming up. I can't wait to speak to Conor Benn. Someone asked me the other day who I think is the next big star, not just in British boxing, in world boxing. I had to mention Conor Benn. I'm not just saying it because he's coming on. It's true. I said boxing's not just about what you do in the ring, it's what you do outside of it as well. And I think the way in which he promotes himself, Gareth will tell you about his YouTube channel, he's very lively. Every time you give him a mic, that's your first time to sell yourself, and he continually sells himself. Gareth, Conor Benn coming up. Exciting to speak to him.
Yeah, definitely. As I agree with you, I think he's potentially one of the biggest rising stars in the UK, a potential pay-per-view star. He's got everything. He's got the whole storyline. His father, Nigel Benn, of course, one of the great and popular British boxers of the last 30 years. Mm. And all Conor really needs to do now is progress and improve and become more of a technician, because we know he's a tearaway warrior. So he's got all the ingredients. He's a very young man. He's already a father. His storyline is out there. You know, he just needs to keep on winning and looking really good.
No, you're right. It just needs to keep on winning. And unfortunately, that's the sport we're in where, you know, a couple of losses can derail the momentum. Granados is not going to be easy. But it's good that he's now headlining shows as well. Where are you on this Granados matchup? I mean, do you think it's kind of the same as a Vargas? Do you think it's a step up, a sideways step? Where are you?
Look, they've got to be very careful how quickly they progress, Connor. People jump into the top 15 sanctioning body pound for pound rankings, Addie, very quickly. And you know, he hasn't got a great... He's not like a Vasyl Lomachenko that had 400... amateur boxing matches, you know, and went to two Olympics and won two gold medals. Conor started a bit of boxing at 16, you know, a bit of sparring, had a few fights in inside haystacks in Australia and, you know, around the back of Barrios in España, and, you know, had a few street fights, tested himself out. Yeah. Had a couple of ding dongs with Dad Nigel, by the way. One at 15 and one at 18. And when he dropped his father at 18, hurt him to the body, Dad said, "Okay, you're ready." So it's what I'm saying. I'm falling into Frank Bruno here today. Stop it! You're just making me laugh. Stop it. What I'm saying is, they can't rush him. Yeah. Granados, for me, is a similar one to his last time out. A little bit more difficult, a little bit more experienced, technical fighter. But Ben's going to go in there and be Ben at the moment.
Yeah.
But he's just got that air of wanting to seek and destroy. And I think that's what makes him so exciting. And he'll get into the trenches very quickly with difficult opponents. And we'll find out about him. That's the great thing about him. He is on a highway to fighting hell.
Yeah.
And that's what we want.
That is exactly what we want. And look, we're going to hear
from the music.
Later. I know. There should have been something there. There should have been a little stab. But look, we're going to hear from him a bit later. And honestly, I think in terms of personalities as well, he has everything. And he's already stepping out of his dad's shadow, which is never going to be easy because Nigel's one of my favourite fighters. I mean, that's not easy to do. But good luck to Conor Benn. I can't wait to speak to him later. You spoke to Fraser Clark last week, obviously Britain's super heavyweight contender at the Olympics. It's not been easy for him to make these Olympics. I mean, you look at who he's had to get through to get there. Now, I mean, 2016 Joe Joyce, 2012 AJ, he's still there. Give us a little tease of what you and Fraser Clark spoke about.
Do you know what? I'll say this. Emotion and relief. No. Pride and patience.
Yeah.
Fraser Clark has been in the GB Olympic team for a decade.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua squeezed ahead of him at London 2012, got the gold medal. Joe Joyce squeezed ahead of him in 2016, got the silver and made the final. This is Fraser Clark's time. He knows it. He's been watching all those great heavyweights in this generation now. Watch the progress of Joyce and Joshua and Fury and White and all those guys. He's ready to join them. It's a very emotional interview and a very honest interview from him. It says, stay with us, must listen interview, Eddie.
Yeah, honestly, can't wait to hear from Fraser Clark. And you're right, look, been with that GB setup for a very, very long time. Gets his opportunity to shine, and I think he will shine in Tokyo. No fight week, I don't think, and you've experienced all of these, so you can tell us firsthand, it's like a Conor McGregor fight week. We've got one coming up this weekend against Dustin Poirier. Some people say the power of Conor somewhat slipped a little bit. It's not like it used to be when he was coming through. Where are you on that?
He's still a massive star. Look, he was the biggest earning or the richest earning sportsman of 2020. $180 million, if I'm right. On Forbes, it was a record. It was the number one. For me, Eddie, a Conor McGregor event is an event. I'm really annoyed I didn't get my national interest exemption to get over there before to Vegas. I'm going. I've got my permissions now to travel for the Fury Wilder 3 fight, which I'm delighted about because it's an ordeal to get over to America at the moment because of the COVID restrictions. But I've probably been at every one of Conor's last, apart from Fight Island, last probably 15 events. And the man draws extraordinary interest from around the world. He will do things this week that will draw the interest, whether his star is waning, whether his athletic abilities are on the decline now, which I think they are slightly. You know, he's sleeping in gold pajamas, isn't he? Not even silk ones. So,
no. Yeah.
You know, he's sunning his toes on super yachts. He's, you know, he's the mega rich now, and they inhabit a different plane. It's not always a difficult plane to live on. It's, I think it brings its own pitfalls. And for a hungry young fighter, it's not really where you particularly want to be. But I think the thing is about Conor McGregor, the determination he's always had will never leave him. Mm. And I think he'll be putting everything into this against Poirier. He looks in fantastic shape.
Yeah.
But I just, if you recall, I know we'll talk about it later at length, but he's not a guy to write off. When you write off, I've written him off before. In the second Diaz fight, I wrote him off. And I was very surprised when he came through and did brilliantly in it.
Yeah, we will talk Conor McGregor a little bit later and how difficult it must be to be the richest sportsman right now on the planet, according to Forbes.
Nothing difficult about it.
Yeah, yeah, so you're right, there's nothing difficult about earning that kind of money. Someone that wants to be in that kind of echelon in terms of earning big money, big fights, is Dillian White. Look, coming off that good win against Povetkin, got knocked out in their first fight, had to kind of regroup and a couple of cancellations, then go again, got a good victory over Povetkin. What's going on with him right now? There is talks, Gareth, about a fight in America. Charles Martin, who I think that's a good fight, by the way. Charles Martin's been calling him out. They're not going to go down the Charles Martin route, I don't think. Do you know what route they are planning for Dillian?
Well, if they're looking at a fight in America, aren't they? Eddie Hearn's flagpoled that for a while. They're going to create a tentpole event for him in America. And obviously that's piqued a lot of interest with the Charles Martin call out. I think it's a good one as well. I'd love to see that fight. I think it's a really good fight. Martin being a lefty. I think Dillian White and Charles Martin would do numbers. But I think they'll give him someone different. But I think it's good that... I think it's all down to the DAZN deal, isn't it, with Eddie Hearn, that they're able to push Dillian White in that direction. And we don't know, of course, because he hasn't got... He's like Anthony Joshua. He's not part of the DAZN Hearn kind of axis for the stable. Mm-hmm. So it might be a Sky event, which is interesting. But yeah, it's about time he fought in America. But, you know, Dillian White needs a fight. And he's a very hungry fighter, so they want to get him out there and get him active. Because he's going to have to wait around for the world title, Eddie. That's the problem.
This is the problem. You're right, he does need to be active, and I think it'll be good for the American market to see Dillian White as well. Finally, Leonard Ellerby has poured cold water on Tank Davis versus Josh Taylor, although he seems to mention Josh Taylor any given opportunity he can. I love it. I don't think Javonte's going to stay at 140. That's a big fight, though, isn't it? It'd be nice. Wheels can start to be put in motion for it, but I can't see it happen anytime soon.
But it's a brilliant fight when you think about it. I mean, I would love to see Josh Taylor and Javonta Davis because the styles would make an extraordinary fight. And we saw Javonta, as we said, I'm sure we said on the show last week, he was still impressive against a man much taller than him because he's got those jack-in-the-box skills. So let's see. But it's still exciting stuff. Look, they're bound to pour scorn on it at the moment because they're not ready for that leap up to stay at 140. They were just testing the waters, but he certainly looked good against the previously unbeaten Mario Barrios.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for the accent.
Ah, you were. You always were.
I was thinking, what's he going to do? And he didn't disappoint. All right, you're listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single week to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and MMA. Up next, very, very special guest, Mr. Conor Benn.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
Please welcome the reigning, defending, undefeated WBA Continental Welterweight Champion, Conor the Destroyer Benn.
Trying to make an early impression on Samuel Vargas. Wonderful uppercut. And look at this from Conor Benn early in the first round. And Vargas in all sorts of trouble. And it's being stopped. Sensational. Conor Benn wins in double quick time.
Statement made. No one banged him out in one round. Easy. Easy. Give me a proper test. Give me Amir Khan. If he wants it, he can get it.
This is Final Extra on TalkSport 2 and myself, Andy Oladipo. Look, you guys know how I feel about Conor Benn. I've said it many times on this show and other shows before. For me, no more exciting a fighter right now on British soil. Obviously, big fan of his dad, which helps me be a big fan of Heaze, but it's not just what he does in the ring. I've said this before, it's what he does outside as well. The YouTube channel, the way in which he promotes himself. I think most fighters are going to take a leaf out of his book. Big fight coming up, Conor, against Adrian Granados. You shocked me, I can't lie, against Samuel Vargas. I didn't expect that. I expected that to be tougher work. You made it look like easy work. Granados, though, a bit more trickier. Comes with that gritty side of him, but can box as well. A bit more of a boxer, clean boxer. What are you expecting?
Well, I don't really worry about what my opponents can do. I worry about what I can do. And I know what I can do, and I'm confident in what I'm capable of. So, you know, I believe that if they were to present whoever it is in front of me, I believe I'll have the tools to dismantle that person. We've seen the Mexicans come over and do a number on some of our fighters. So, you know, it's about time I set the score straight.
Hi, Conor. Adi forgot to tell you that I'm on the call with you today. He's so awestruck by your presence on the phone. He forgot to tell you I was on. There was just a recording there of what you said when you joined Adam and Adam Catcher and myself on Fight Night after your last victory. You that night called out Amir Khan. Has there been any progress towards any of those kind of box office fights for you later this year that you've talked about behind the scenes?
Well, no. We Ertram here is lawyer / agent manager, whatever you want to call it. Literally straight after the fight, and that was it. And I think that ended there. So at the end of the day, I don't blame him for not taking the fight. You know, but then again, it's a confidence for me, because if he thought he would have beat me easy, he would have taken the payday. So it don't make no difference to me. Either way, I'm going to be in some massive fights in my career.
Just tell us, because the thing that Adi and I were talking about at the top of the show was how quickly you progress. And there's another side of it, really, which is how long do you want to be in the sport and how much do you want to prove? I mean, is it becoming a world champion? Is it doing it till you can't do it anymore? Is it, financial security? What is it? What is it?
At the beginning, it was all fun and games, and, give the British public entertainment, and I enjoyed it. And don't get me wrong, I still enjoy it now. It's a lot harder now. I don't think anything can prepare you for how hard it gets. Well, how hard Tony Sims works you. And, each camp, I think it can't possibly get any harder than this, possibly. And Tony finds ways to make it 10 times harder. So we're always pushing, breaking boundaries. I mean, I'm ranked highly in every governing body, in the WBC, WBA, IBF, IBO. So I'm ranked highly in all of them. And even the global rankings on BoxRec. I've surpassed what I thought I could achieve when I first started. But I believe with my hard work and dedication, I believe you can achieve anything. I believe that anything is possible. Yeah. And, don't listen to the naysayers or it's impossible for them. But with my mindset and how far I've become, how far I've come and how far I can go, we'll soon find out. So, it's how long left in this game. I think I got another 5 years in me, training as hard as I do. You can't possibly do that for so long. Do you know what I mean? We'll see where I'm at in 5 years' time. We'll have this conversation, Gareth.
Yeah, and fingers crossed, it's a good conversation we're having as well. Conor, I think your rise in the last sort of 14, 18 months or so has been fantastic, especially after that Formeo win. I've spoken to people that have come up, Conor, as well, like the way you've done now, and they say as you get bigger and obviously the paychecks get bigger, you start to see the side of boxing that maybe you don't see when you're coming up. So the politics of it all, making the big fights, all the conversations like Gareth mentioned, Amir Khan there, and all the politics of making that fight. Are you seeing that already in terms of getting opponents you want to get, or maybe struggling to get a name in the ring that you're looking for?
I don't care. It's not my job. That's not my job. My job is to fight. The politics and all that, if you do want to get muddled up in that and use your energy to focus on that, you do you. But I've got all my energy and all my time to focus on actually bettering myself and fighting. Because say the big fights don't get made for political reasons, when you're knocking on the door, you can't be denied. But the only how you're going to get to there is by grafting and working hard. And yeah, when you're knocking on the door, you can't be denied. So, you know, the big fights are going to come because people still love to see me in the Josh Kelly fight.
Yeah.
People love to see me in Amir Khan. People love to see me in Kell Brook. You've got some great fighters in the world weight division. But at the end of the day, they don't market themselves well, so they'll never be a top draw, which is why everyone's calling for my name or wanting to see me fight X, Y, Z. So whichever fight I'm in domestically is going to be, you know, a massive fight. Obviously, Kell Brook's my pal, so I'd never fight Kell. But then, yeah, Amir Khan. It's a fight I would want. But it's, what can you do about it? Do you know what I mean? It's just one of them things. I ain't going to lose no sleep over it. I ain't going to wait for no man. I'm at a stage in my career where, you know, it's important times. You know, I weren't going to wait for the British title. I weren't going to wait. We waited 7 months. I weren't going to wait any longer.
Mm.
You know, and that's that. You push on. I ain't going to let no man hold me back. You know, I do what I want.
Love to hear it. Connor, we have got on August 14th, I think, or August 21st, it might be. Manny Pacquiao is fighting Errol Spence in Las Vegas. Now, if Manny Pacquiao is around in a year's time and you've grown, Addy and I were saying, and I do believe this, and I don't want to blow smoke up your backside, but you have the potential to be the biggest star of the next generation in British boxing. If Manny Pacquiao's still around, he's never fought in the UK. How would it be to bring the Pac-Man to fight the Destroyer in the UK?
Oh, that'd be unbelievable. Again, that's a massive fight. But I see Pacquiao winning the fight with Spence, funnily enough. I know many people are going to beg to differ.
Ooh.
I do. I see Pacquiao beating Spence. I mean, you don't have Spence's lived their life, you know, with an accident, drink driving, et cetera, et cetera. You've seen him boozed up at some events. So you just don't know. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, people wrote Pacquiao off, say he was too old and this, that, and he's proven every single time worthy. So I do have Pac-Man winning that. But yeah, of course, mate. Listen, these are the fights the public want. These are the fights we want. This is the fights I want to bring to British soil. You know, it'd be a dream even, you know, all the top Americans get him over here.
I was gonna ask that because, look, when we talk Conor Benn, stateside, they're talking about a couple of other Americans, unbeaten, young, fresh as well. Virgil Ortiz, Jaron Ennis has mentioned a lot as well. Do you look at them and their trajectory? Well. Yeah, there you go, exactly. Do you look at them and what they're doing, the work they're doing?
Not really, man. I'm not too... I don't really look at other fighters. And funnily enough, I don't really watch much modern boxing. Mm. You know, I watch Pac-Man Spence, but I won't really watch anyone. When people come up to me and go, oh, do you know this fighter or this fighter? I ain't got a clue.
Why is that, Connor? Why don't you watch
because I like watching the old fighters. So when I do have spare time, and funny enough, Pac-Man's one I've been watching recently, but, you know, he's an exception. I like the Arturo Gays, the Mickey Walds, the Lennons, the Hagglers. I like watching them fights. Today's fighters, unless I like them, I won't bother watch, or unless they're really entertaining and vulnerable, I won't bother watching. Not just because when I'm not training, I want to actually feel like I'm having a break from boxing.
Yeah.
I want to chill. I want to be with my wife and my kid. I want to, you know, enjoy my life, the house that I'm building. I want to, you know, go on holiday with the missus and, you know, take a step back from boxing. So when I do come back, you know, you're rejuvenated, you're ready to go again. My dad don't really watch much boxing, believe it or not.
That is a bit of a surprise for me hearing that, but I fully understand it. Like, mentally, you need to kind of switch away from the sport of boxing. Connor, what are we, 3 and a bit weeks out now from the Granados fight? What happens now? I mean, obviously, sparring, I'm guessing, will be tapered down. Is it just a case of just making sure you're ticking all the boxes?
No, sparring's not tapered down yet, mate. No, I got 12 rounds on Wednesday with 3 different people.
How are you feeling going into this one, though, Connor? Super confident, I'm guessing.
Of course. Do you know what confidence is? Confidence is a luxury for those who work hard. And not many people get it. Not many people understand that. You think I work as hard as I do to go, yeah, you know, maybe I'm going to win. Yeah, you know, because that's what the public want to hear. They don't want me going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to knock him out in 2 rounds. Do you know why? Because I work as hard as I work so that I do knock him out in 2 rounds.
Mm.
And do you know why I'm so confident? Because I get up at 4 in the morning and do my runs. That's why, you know, before people start going, oh, he's arrogant, he's this, he's that, you know, the reason why I work so hard is so I have that confidence.
I love it, Connor. Honestly, I've said it. You heard what I said about you before you started the show.
I did.
I absolutely love it. So continue to do this. We're going to continue to support. Watch. I love your YouTube as well. Keep doing that. And fingers crossed you get a big statement win against Granada.
Let me plug CBTV quick. Yo, plug for it. Everyone who wants to tune into my personal day-to-day life, CBTV, links in my bio on Instagram. Or click it on YouTube and like and subscribe. I had to plug myself there, sorry lads.
Honestly, no, it's fantastic
lovely,
content.
Lovely. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple of days' time as well for a sit-down interview for DAZN. I'm looking forward to our sit-down, Connor.
Lovely, mate. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Cheers, Connor. Honestly, we appreciate it. Good luck against Granada's 31st of July. Connor headlines fight camp. There should be a fantastic fight. Granada's has been in the ring with some of the biggest stars. What do you think of Adrian Broner, Sean Porter? Very, very unlucky against Adrian Broner as well. Go and watch that fight back in 2017. But always great to speak to Connor Benn there. All right, you listen to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single week to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and MMA. Next up, we're focusing on the Olympics with GB captain Fraser Clark.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Beautiful right jab to start the third and final round as Potkinen, in pursuit of her second Olympic place, comes out aggressively. But look at the poise young Caroline Dubois is showing, boxing and moving, and proving that she is not going to be roughed up by Potkinen.
Good start from Dubois.
What a moment for Caroline Dubois. The 20-year-old from London is just one win away from Tokyo 2020, and look at what it means to her.
This bout breaking into life in the third. Sotomayor again on the ropes. Now, it's all over. McCormack takes the victory.
Body shot from Fraser Clark. Serious intent.
That
was a right from
that
Clark.
That body shot seemed to have taken a toll.
We're not even midway through round two, and Akar looks like he's laboring somewhat.
Yes, taking shots, and this week, and you see the referee looking very closely.
Unanimous decision, Fraser Clark is going to the Olympics.
And it's Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, if you've missed any of today's shows, you can always catch up with our podcast. Just search for Fight Night wherever you download your podcast for access to all previous episodes. All right, super heavyweight Fraser Clark will lead Team GB's squad of 11 fighters into next month's Olympic Games in Japan. The 29-year-old was overlooked 4 years ago in Rio in favour of Joe Joyce, but is determined to lead by example this time round by securing gold as team captain. He caught up with our very own Gareth A. Davis a few days ago to relive the experience of securing qualification to this year's delayed games.
Emotion, you know, in boxing, we all know how much of an emotional sport it is because of what you go through outside the ring, in the gym, on the track, the early mornings, the late nights. But I think, you know, it all come to the horizon in Paris, especially in that moment. You know, once they announced me as the winner, everything, all them emotions over the years, the ups and downs, they all sort of came into one moment. My family, my friends, the coaches, everything came into my head. So it was a really beautiful moment. But, you know, the build-up, the fight, I don't want to put it down, but it was horrendous. It was really, really horrible. It was a feeling that I've never been through before. And now I'm not afraid to say it. As a super heavyweight boxer, I was crapping my pants. So that's the only literal word, because you know, you put so much into something for years and years and years, and it rides on that one moment, 9 minutes against an opponent that I'd already beat. So you have that in your mind, but at the same time, it was his one chance to go to the Olympic Games as well. So I expected nothing less than him to give absolutely everything, and he pushed me to my limit. You know, he was a smaller guy, had all the disadvantages, but it just shows, you know, when you want things bad enough, and I had a massive respect for him after. You know, I said, you know what, I could see that you were fighting like that was your one and only chance to go to the Olympics, because what you got to remember is it changes people's lives. And he fought like a man that it could change his life, but at the same time, it can change mine too. So I give it everything.
When you face that moment, I suppose you grow from it, because like you say, it's almost like 10 years of work can go down the drain. It's not often you're in a position where 10 years of hard work can go down the drain for this. It's not just you've just wanted the Olympic gold, but you have wanted the Olympic gold. Anthony Joshua got the Olympic gold before you. Joe Joyce got to the final before you in Rio. You've had to wait another year anyway because it was meant to be last year. It must be a lot of pressure, but coming through it, you must grow from it, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. People talk about pressure. And I've spoke about pressure in the past. I've felt pressure for different things. The Commonwealth Games, I felt pressure. The ABA Finals, you feel pressure. The GB Championships, you feel pressure. Every international tournament, you feel pressure. But now I know what real pressure is. Mm. That was all pressure. And don't get me wrong, you know, everything has its own pressures. But this was real pressure. This was the dream is alive or it's dead. There's no in between. There's no, like, you know, you don't lose this one and then it's all right, you go back and rebuild. You lose this one, it's the end of a chapter, you close that book. And I hadn't quite finished writing the last few pages in this book. So, you know, it would have been a whole story ruined because there would have been no ending. So I was, I felt it immensely. The environment was different due to the COVID, you know. We were stuck in a hotel as well, which I wouldn't say helped because, you know, there was not many distractions. We had a garden and a car park to walk up and down to get, you know, to get some fresh air and try and entertain each other. With the COVID, we couldn't do anything really. We managed to smuggle a few frisbees into the hotel. So that was the entertainment for the lads. We're playing frisbee in the car park. I never witnessed this pressure. I never went through it, but I'm glad I went through it now. I feel like qualifying was a great, great feeling, but also at the same time, one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in my boxing career was that week. You know, I know that I could be pushed to certain limits now, and I feel like unless I was in a unification world title fight as a pro, I'm not sure that pressure is going to be replicated. So it was nice to experience it.
We're 5.5 weeks away from that moment.
Yeah, definitely.
But what do you do in your head, your body, now, all in the next 5.5 weeks?
Yeah, well, there's still time for some hard work to be done here in Sheffield. We're doing that. The coaches, you know, they're just trying to manage it right, because I feel like you can quite easily overdo it or underdo it now. You know, it's a difficult one to manage because the qualifier was so close. You sort of peak, then you have a couple of days off, drop down again, then you have to get back up. But then we've got to do all the travelling to Tokyo as well. So, you know, I feel good. I still feel like the sharpness to come from me. I can get sharp again, but it's a little bit too early yet. The sharpness will come over the next couple of weeks. The whole team, to be honest, you know, I think we're all in different stages, different periods, but I think everyone's in a great place mentally, definitely. You know, the qualifiers give us some great confidence, because essentially it's a European Championship and everyone did well. You know, we had a lot of finalists. And like I say, everyone was fighting for their life out there. It wasn't like a normal Europeans where you've got a World Championships after to fall back on. Everyone was fighting for their absolute life in an Olympic place.
Do you think we're going to get a record number of medals at these games with the team we're taking out there?
I don't want to say.
I don't want to jinx it, no?
I won't want to jinx anything. We've got a good chance, but so did the guys in Rio, and so did the guys in London. Amateur boxing is about turning up for 9 minutes. And, you know, I've seen it in former teams. I've seen people have the best form in the gym, get to the Olympics, and either the stage was too big for them, the occasion got to them. So unless we have them 9 minutes, anything that's done in the gym now, it helps, but nothing's guaranteed until you put that 9 minutes of work in the ring in Tokyo. So if we all have our best 9 minutes, then I think we're in a good place.
Final question, because I know I've got to let you go. There's a big fight before yours. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder 3. Mm-hmm. We know what happened in the first fight, the draw, the second fight. Tyson Fury schooled Wilder, put him on the back foot, didn't let the bully him. What do you think happens in the third fight? But you know how fighters are with each other.
Yeah, I feel like, for me, Tyson Fury is a great fighter. Deontay Wilder's a great puncher. And he's changed his training team and whatnot. I think Tyson Fury said it in the interviews and stuff. I feel like it is very, very hard and takes an awful long time to change as an actual boxer. You might change his style for a few rounds, but then when things get hard, the natural thing to do, the psychological thing to do, is to revert back to type. And I think, you know, the more Deontay Wilder loads up and looks for them big shots, the more he gets hit with a jab, with a double jab, and the movement bamboozles him. So for me, Fury wins again. I think it will be a bit more difficult this time. So I feel like Wilder will be a bit more cautious. And I think that caution could make it more difficult for Fury. You know, I think Tyson Fury wants Deontay Wilder to come to him, trying to knock him out. You know, I think that's his best way of winning. But I'm expecting big things in the build-up, you know, psychologically from Fury to try and goad Wilder to come forward.
And the final thing, of course, which is the question, the million-dollar, the gold question for you, what will it mean to win gold in Tokyo for Fraser Clark?
It's hard to put it into words, Gareth. It'd be a sense of a lifelong accomplishment coming to the front. I sort of rose from the darkness, the shadows behind other heavyweights. A lot of people have looked at me and thought, he's good, but he ain't quite got it. No, I'm there to prove people wrong. I'm there to prove to all the non-believers and people that, you know, have always been told that they can't do things. If you believe in yourself and you work really hard, you can do anything. The more medals we bring home, the super heavyweight captain of the team brings back the gold medal, that's pride for everyone in this country. So, you know, that will mean a lot to me. And I know it's going to be difficult. And I know there's going to be ups and downs and bumps in the road, but I'm willing to go for anything to get that gold medal.
I love that final line there from Fraser Clark. I'm willing to go through anything to get that gold medal, and he might have to. And it should be like that. Olympic gold medals, it should be tough to get there, and it should be tough to win them. But he's got a fantastic chance. Great interview there by Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, look, very emotional Fraser Clark, obviously, just because of how it's been for the last 10 years as part of this GB team. And as you say, not many GB teams that you're going to have to wait behind AJ, Anthony Joshua, Olympic gold medalist, world champion, and Joe Joyce. A lot of people thought he won the gold as well, by the way, in Rio, silver medalist. I mean, he's done well to kind of just wait. A lot of people would have turned pro, but he's got that dream and he's going for it.
Yeah, and you look, just imagine what it's like having been on the squad that entire time and you get pipped at the post twice.
Yeah.
Imagine being told you're about to present your radio show and then someone else is coming in, you've got to wait in the wings, be the understudy, all those things. Imagine, that's almost a decade. So that was a decade of emotion pouring out of him, Addy. And we heard that in the interview. Imagine if he'd failed in that task. Oof, it would have been, man, an enormous letdown. The guy is going to be a significant figure in the heavyweight division. Anthony Joshua, Joe Joyce, they all talk about how brilliant it is to spar with Fraser Clark. And I think this is a guy on a mission for gold in Tokyo.
Yeah, fingers crossed he gets that as well. Not just him, but the whole team. I mean, we are sending over almost like our Avengers to Tokyo. Trust me, a lot of them could be coming back with a lot of gold. All right, you're listening to Find It Extra here on TalkSport 2. Up next, we're focusing on Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier, UFC 264.
I just feel good to be in this spot that I'm in. I don't have to worry about the weight cut. I can focus on my skills, focus on my endurance, focus on my strength, and build myself, you know what I mean? Build myself back up. That's what allowed me to achieve the things I achieved.
Calm, relaxed, and smiling. Ah!
Get a great camp, a great fight, and then it'll take me into the year. I'm looking at this as a season, so this is the beginning of the season. Donald was the first one that I agreed to have a bout with.
Notorious.
History has been made! Conor McGregor is the UFC lightweight champion!
Dana! 60 G's, baby!
I came back for the love of this. To come and shut this man up.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
When I knock people out, they don't move. They're not. Who the is that guy?
There is no one more exciting for me in combat sports, and you can include anyone in this, than Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor fight week for me just excites me unlike any other. And look, there are some big ones in boxing, right? AJ fight week's massive, Canelo fight week's massive. I mean, Gareth A. Davis has been to all of those, but nothing's more exciting for me than a Conor McGregor fight week. Nothing. And I hope we see more of these. I feel like we are going to start to see less and less of these now, Gareth, but we are going to get it. UFC 264 on the weekend, McGregor versus Poirier. It was almost a trilogy that I never expected to see. I expected to see the Nate Diaz trilogy before this. We've got one. It's one apiece. What's your thinking about Conor McGregor? I remember asking you about Conor before the Poirier fight, and you were a bit like, maybe we've seen the best of Conor, which is probably a true statement. Where's his head at? You know, he's earning hundreds and hundreds of millions through his proper whiskey. Will we see a legit Conor this weekend? I mean, or is it just smoke and mirrors? Are we going to see the old school Conor?
Well, look, we've seen Conor have five fights in 5 years, really, or six fights. He fought three times in 2016, didn't he? He had the loss to Nate Diaz, then the win against Nate Diaz in the rematch. Then Eddie Alvarez, where he became a champ, lightweight and featherweight champion. Then, of course, the loss to Khabib 2 years later. Then I thought he looked fantastic in January 2020 against Donald Cerrone. And then obviously comes back a year later, COVID notwithstanding, against Dustin Poirier in their second fight. And I think, you know, we heard that clip just now, 60G, Dana, and that was 8 years ago in Sweden. I remember interviewing him post fight for the UFC that night in Sweden, and that's such a long time ago. And in just under a decade, look how his life's changed. And I think he showed that hunger against Donald Cerrone in Las Vegas. He's just got, I hope, behind the scenes, has shown the hunger in his training camp. And he looks physically incredible, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And this is a really, really big fight for him. And I think, you know, much like people are talking at the moment about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, is Deontay Wilder finished if Tyson Fury flattens him this time? If Dustin Poirier flattens Conor this time, where does he go after this? Where is the legitimate big pay-per-view event? So he becomes an enormous star for the UFC again, Eddie, if he wins on Saturday night. It's why it's such a big fight for him and such a big fight for his kind of... He doesn't need momentum, but he needs momentum as a fighter now, not as a personality in the world, because he's still a massive cash cow. It'll still do... He has all the records in all the pay-per-views. He is the biggest star in the history of the UFC. It might not be in the top pound for pound in terms of the top kind of four or five fighters and the resumes, but you can make an argument that he's the greatest star that the UFC has ever produced, along with Ronda Rousey in the women's game.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think anyone can argue that Conor McGregor in terms of, and you're right, I mean, that growth as well, from that first time in Sweden. It's funny, him asking for a 50G bonus. His suits probably cost 50 G's now. That's just how crazy his trajectory has been over the last sort of 8 years. MMA is very different from boxing, to the point where, I mean, if you lose in boxing, there are some exceptions, right? But if you lose in boxing, everyone writes you off, you're done. In MMA, you very rarely get out with an unbeaten record. Khabib and John Jones, if you remove the disqualification. Do you think that's it, though, for Conor if he does lose? Like, I mean, you get goes again, but I just don't see, like you said, where we put him again.
Yeah, he doesn't need to fight for a start, does he? So, you know, going back to the old gladiator days, fighters are fighting for their freedom very often, the freedom for canonical ownership of their lives. You know, they're not fighting for survival anymore. If they're cash rich, if they're very wealthy, they don't need to put themselves through it anymore. And I think the UFC would love to sustain him for a few more years while they're building up their stars. But as I said before, and I'll say again, A beats B, B beats C, and C beats A in MMA, so that there's so many more ways to win and lose, but whereas boxing is a single martial art. So and in many ways it helps the sport that there are all those ways to lose. That's why, as you rightly say, people like John Jones and Khabib not losing, apart from notwithstanding the disqualification for John Jones, as you rightly mentioned, that's what makes them extraordinary as athletes. And I think Conor always puts himself out there, you know, expecting him to be really entertaining this week. And maybe I'd like to see him get into the head of Poirier a little bit this time, because Poirier is the guy with the momentum and the confidence. I'd like to see a few tricks with Conor. I'd like to see him dominate the press conference mentally. I'd like to see him... what I do think we can't write him off in is... he went through exactly the same problems in the second fight with Nate Diaz and showed that he had the cardio to do it and came through and won. That's what he was lacking in that fight against Poirier the first time around. He lacked the cardio. The initial onslaught, if you recall, he almost finished Poirier in the first round. He was very close to doing it and then seemed to run out of gas and the tank emptied very quickly. I think he'll be different this time. He's an incredibly proud fighter, an incredibly proud man. And I'm looking forward to a fantastic event on Saturday night. It's the Conor McGregor show again.
It really is. They last fought in January. So what was that, 6 months ago? This is Conor's quickest turnaround since you mentioned 2016. Do you think this is a good thing as well? Like, he's been very inactive.
Oh, totally.
This now is better, right? Quick turnarounds. You can't get distracted. Back in the gym, back with Kavanaugh and really training. Nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. And crowds are allowed back now, of course, which is a massive thing. So I think if he wins on Saturday night, I expect him to fight again this year, late in the year, maybe the close of the year event. Probably Nate Diaz. I mean, look what Nate Diaz did against Leon Edwards in that terrific fight a couple of weeks ago, where he really nearly did take it in the last few minutes of the 25 that he fought Leon Edwards after being kind of dominated in the stand-up in lots of ways. There's definitely mileage, there's skin in the game on that third fight with Nate Diaz as well.
Look, the UFC has always found stars, right? Every time you feel like, okay, there's a problem here, that they're running out of stars, another one crops up. You look now, though, Jorge losing, and I think that they're really hoping Jorge could do some stuff. Is he going to 205 and losing as well? Yeah, they need Conor to win, don't they? Not that they need Gareth, because there's other stars that you build, but in terms of really big, big draws, the others have fallen off a little bit recently. They need Conor to win, don't they?
Well, you've got Conor right up there as Mayweather level in stars in the fight firmament, and everyone else is below that. There's no one on that level of stardom. Even John Jones is very quiet at the moment. That's why my interest was piqued in the last 24 hours when Tyson Fury threw it out there that he'd love to throw down with 4-ounce gloves with Francis Ngannou if Tyson Fury comes through Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua. I tell you, Tyson Fury against Francis Ngannou with 4-ounce gloves, that sells big. And a lot of people will be saying, why are you saying that? But
it does.
I would love to see that. It's massive, absolutely massive. Because Francis, I know he's got a bit of a ground game, but yes, you were going to say.
Just before you go, I was going to ask you for a prediction on the weekend. What are you thinking? Repeat
or Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
No, revenge. He's going to get the win this time. Ooh. He's going to get a win, and it's going to be by stoppage.
That's it for this week. Thank you once again for downloading the podcast. We'll be live again next Monday on TalkSport 2. And if you miss us, make sure to subscribe to Fight Night Podcast to catch up with all our other episodes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.